Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. I'm Noah Trumbly, joined, as always, by Lawrence Patchman Lang and Mike the Pun Master Rifkin. And joining us tonight is the Sports Insanity Network's pro wrestling writer, Jeff Knapp. Guys, how are we all doing tonight?
Excellent.
I'm just giddy from our conversation beforehand.
Oh, we don't need to get into that. We've already talked about that enough.
That man's life is ruined already.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that again.
Worse than the Bills' overtime loss.
Oh,
throwing shade right now.
All right. Well, last week we did our top 15 matches of 2021. This week we are doing our top wrestlers of 2021, both male and female. We've all compiled a list of the top five female and male wrestlers, along with some honorable mentions. So I say we get right into it. Jeff, I'm going to have you run through your female honorable mentions really quick, and then we'll move on to the other guys.
Okay, so my honorable mentions for females, let's see here. I have to do, say, Hikaru Shida from AEW. She was the first women's wrestler there to hit 50 wins. Let's see here. There is Tam Nakano. She's from Stardom. She won the Wonder of Stardom Championship. It's kind of like the United States title, IC title, this year, as she also won the Artists of Stardom Championship, which is basically the three-person tag team championship over there. And Raquel Gonzalez from NXT. She's had a really great 2021. She won the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic with Dakota Kai, and she won her first championship, singles championship there this year too. So here are two more. I'd have to say Jade Cargill from AEW. I know a lot of people get on her, but like when she comes on that screen, you can't help but be like fascinated with just her overall look. I mean, she kind of reminds me of Storm from the X-Men, so that's kind of a neat thing for me. But she's probably going to be there. If they do Rookies of the Year there, she's got to be at least in the female category for Rookie of the Year. And she's also undefeated. And Jordynne Grace from Impact. I would give her the honorable mention for being, she was a tag team champion this year, and she was their first Impact Digital Media champion also.
All right. Mike, how about you? Who are your honorable mentions for female wrestlers?
All right. So I went Ty Conti from AEW. And, you know, Jeff talked a lot about Shida and being at 50 wins, but just the improvements from Ty Conti that you see from when she was in NXT. She's not superstar yet, but she's getting there and she's really close. Mandy Rose, NXT, because Mandy Rose, I mean, we've had this conversation before, like, yeah, she's gorgeous because she wrestled. She's improved immensely.
You know, it's,
and she's now the NXT Women's Champion.
I'm going to cut you off, but like, remember when she first went down and when she went back and we all kind of were like, why? And it's like, oh, wow, it worked out great for her.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa. I just love Thunder Rosa. And we talked about the match with Britt Baker last week and how awesome it was. I didn't put this person in my top five mainly because they didn't come back until the summer, but Becky Lynch is still in there. I can't deny Becky Lynch. And my last honorable mentions from NWA, Camille, I think it's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me, and Jeff, you might reminds me a little bit of how China used to look from back in the day.
Yeah, she had that bigger, more, I guess,
the bigger physique,
athletic, very athletic look. And I loved her when she first came out with Nick Aldis, and she was very quiet, and You didn't know what, you know, if she was going to even wrestle, if she was going to wrestle, how it was going to be. And it turns out she was actually pretty decent. I was impressed by, you know, because I never heard of her until she hit NWA Power.
And the last one, and I'm disappointed I couldn't find a place in my top five, Bayley.
She was gone for a lot of the year.
I know, but I wanted to reward her for the work she did in the Thunderdome. And my hope is, I have no insider information, Bayley's my dark horse for the Women's Rumble.
That's a good candidate for the Women's Rumble, I think. I think there are a couple people who are in front of her, but Bayley is a good show for that. Alrighty, Patchman, who are your female honorable mentions?
Well, Rifkin mentioned a few of them. You got to throw Becky in there, you know. Came back, won the women's title. And then, you know, we're in the situation now where she's in a feud with Liv Morgan. Also, I think you got to throw Liv Morgan in here, you know, because she basically was lost in the shelf for a little bit, and then all of a sudden she gets this push, and then she takes it to the moon. Pun intended, shout out Cameron Grimes, to the moon. And we're now in a situation where, you know what, it's time for Liv Morgan to have a chance, and she's proven herself that she can hang, and she proved it this past last Monday when she went toe-to-toe with Becky in the main event, and, you know,
it was really good. It
was a great main event up there. You know, people were kind of comparing it to Trish and Lita many moons ago with their main event. So things are looking good for Liv Morgan. So she's an honorable mention. Yeah, throw Bayley in there. Started the year off hot. And unfortunately, an injury comes. I'm agree with Rifkin. Dark horse in the Rumble to come back. Let it happen. Who else did I have? I had Alexa Bliss in there. You know, started the, you know, we can use what happened at WrestleMania with her and The Fiend as a catalyst saying, you know, she killed The Fiend. But then again, she kept her character going with, you know, what she was doing with the Firefly Funhouse when Bray was gone. And then eventually Bray was released and then they wrote her off. But she had a great year. So that's why she's just been honorable mention. And also Mandy Rose. Like I say, she left the main roster, went back down to NXT, rebranded herself, and now is the current NXT Women's Champion.
Yeah, for me, definitely Raquel is in there. I think she had a really good year, but I think just some people had better years. Mandy Rose, definitely a great shout. Really kind of revitalized her career in NXT. You know, started up the year kind of looking for something to do. Didn't really have anything, but goes back to NXT and really finds her footing. Hikaru Shida, I really got to give love to Hikaru Shida. She is one of my favorites right now on the roster, as far as AEW is, because I think she's just a woman that she can go out and have a great match with anybody. I mean, her and Britt Baker, they were on my list of favorite match of the year. Her and Britt Baker at Double or Nothing was really, really good. And I hope that they continue to use her as like one of the pedestals of that women's division, because she definitely deserves it. I'm going to go with Ty Conti too. I was surprised to see how good she's been getting ever since she went to AEW. I remember her in NXT, Mike, and I don't know if you remember, she was not that good.
She was used as someone to get squashed.
Yeah, get squashed. And then she goes to AEW, and I'm like, okay, it's kind of a weird signing for him. And that's like, oh, wow, she's like leaps and bounds ahead of what she was in NXT. And she'll be in that, maybe not women's champion, but she'll be in like that, gets a match every once in a while, I think, for the title at some point. And who knows, maybe she'll even take the Elite further than what we think.
Also, at some point, they're going to pull what WWE and NXT both did with the tag titles. And her and Anna Jay just seem like the most likely duo maybe to win it at first.
Yeah. And also that, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for my honorable mentions. I think everyone else had decent years. Just, you know, we'll have to see from them future on. Alrighty, Jeff, coming back to you, your list of male honorable mentions.
So my male honorable mentions. Let's see here. I had. Okay, so I hate to put him just in honorable mentions because he wasn't in my top five. But Big E. I was trying to expand outside of just WWE and AEW a little bit, but so I put Big E in my top five, or in my top 10, actually. He was in my top 10. I put Kota Ibushi in New Japan. He became the first IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. He merged their IC title and just the IWGP Heavyweight title when he defeated, I think he defeated Naito for that, for that title. Rich Swann, early on in 2021, he had a really great run. He won the Impact title in 2020, but he carried it over. And then he had a really great match, I thought, against Moose for that and the TNA Heavyweight Championship title. And, oh, God, there's so many different ones I could throw in there. There was this one guy, he also won the World Heavyweight title in New Japan, was Takagi. He beat Okada, who's most of us who know him he's like the John Cena of New Japan for the most part, but you know, like there's MJF. I mean, him on the mic, and he's just so entertaining, so entertaining. He's like Piper in Portland. No, and Jonathan Gresham and Sammy Guevara. There's so many great guys that I wanted to throw in there, but I think it's just too hard to throw them all in a top 10.
A lot of guys are killing it right now. And it's really hard to whittle it down to even just honorable mentions, because it's like, you know, a lot of these guys are having great years, especially because of AEW really taking off. Yeah. Is that your list?
Yeah. Well, that was my list for honorable mentions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mike, your male honorable mentions.
I'm going to start with Edge, and it sounds weird, but the feud with Rollins tore it up. The fact that he was able to win the Rumble after everything Edge has been through, to me, I wanted to put him in the top five. I just couldn't do it. Adam Cole, Bay Bay, the O'Reilly stuff, he's coming hot into AEW. The Jungle Boy match was great. Now he's got the best friends feud that's going on. Hangman Page didn't even make my top five, and that was hard for me. And I love Hangman Page. Kyle O'Reilly, got to give Kyle O'Reilly some love. He's had a great year. And someone Jeff mentioned briefly, and I wish we expanded it a little bit more, Sammy Guevara. I wanted to put Sammy Guevara, but he's just missed.
I just love how he came out of that group with Jericho and all those guys, and kind of made a name for himself when they did the introduction of AEW originally, and they showed him. I was like, another guy I've never heard of, and then he took off, and I'm like, I'm very happy that he has gotten to the level he's at, the TNT Championship. It's amazing.
He's Orton when Orton left Evolution, albeit different circumstances, but he's become Orton in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That it for you, Mike?
That's it.
All right, Patchy, your male honorable mentions.
You know, a lot of names already mentioned. I'm going to throw Christian in there. No, Christian came back at the Rumble. Then went over to AEW because we couldn't get nice things in WWE and had an E&C reunion and possibly a tag title run. Just imagine E&C versus Orton and Riddle. We could have had that, but we didn't. Darn it. And then, you know, he went on to win the world title in TNA, and then had a great match with Omega, MJF. You got to throw Miro in there.
Yeah.
Solid run as a TNT champion. And, you know, thank God, you know, Miro's finally getting what he deserves, and with a big push and getting given a title to show that he can actually hold the title, cut the promo, and do business in the ring. CM Punk, you know, no one thought CM Punk would come back at 40 odd years old.
Mm-hmm.
Still show that he can still ball. And you got to throw Brock in there. Brock is doing his best work he's probably done in forever. And just the fact that the man is just having fun and showing that he doesn't need Paul Heyman.
I guess for him, it's just he really hasn't done much this year. He said two matches.
He's had two matches, but it's Brock.
Actually, Brock no, he only had one.
He only had one wrestle, match this year.
He didn't wrestle Mania.
Well, he was gone at Mania. But I think you still got to throw Brock in there just for, you know, promo skills itself. Because, you know, we always talk, oh, you know, Brock can't cut a promo. He needs Heyman to talk for him. No, he doesn't. Give Brock a mic. Brock can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I like Viking Lumberjack Brock.
I like Farm Boy Brock with the overalls.
You know what? Oh my God. Brock should just join the Viking Raiders. That's what has to happen now.
The Viking Brock experience. There you go.
Brock experience.
The Brock.
The Rock and Brock connection.
Let me finish real quick with Brock real quick, and then you can go. And just the past 2 weeks with him and Sami Zayn has been hilarious.
Oh, it's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. It just proves that, you know what? If we get a face Brock, everyone just loves him more.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, and I can't wait to see what happens at day one with him and Roman.
It's going to be sad, I'm guessing, but we'll see.
One other name we didn't throw out there, but we could have, right before Backlash with Cesaro, but it's been all downhill since.
Yeah, it's been way downhill for Cesaro since then. My honorable
Seth mention Rollins is in there too for me.
Definitely would be Miro. Would be an honorable mention for me. I think he had a great year again. It just, you know, he didn't crack my top five. Guevara obviously gets some love. I think Cesaro is a really good shout. Big E's a good shout. Probably anyone that you may not have mentioned. Oh, I don't know if you guys have him in any of your lists, but Bobby Lashley deserves some love. His WWE title reign was really, really good.
I'm gonna shock you where I have him.
Oh, okay, that'll be interesting. Kyle O'Reilly, I definitely want to give love to him. He definitely really, really elevated his game this year. Finn Balor, I think, deserves some more love too. He had some great matches with O'Reilly, with Cole, with Cross, with Roman, with and other stuff too. We did go a little downhill.
The ending with Roman.
Yeah, besides the ending with Roman, that was all, you know, whatever. Kevin Owens will be my last one. He started off the year hot with Roman in the Last Man Standing match, which was really, really great. Had a great feud with Sami Zayn in there. And you kind of renewed that great rivalry with him. They had a Last Man Standing match that was pretty great. He's been doing this stuff with Big E now, which is just, yeah, they just keep him in, you know, all this stuff. And I think he's been really showing out, and we'll hopefully see him in another company here very, very soon, because we know his contract's running out pretty, pretty soon.
Unless he wins at day one.
Yeah, right. All right. So let's get into the actual lists themselves. We'll start at number five, but we'll start with females. Jeff, who's your number five female wrestler of the year?
You mean male?
Well, no, we're gonna do five. That's
on me.
We'll do five female male, then we'll do four male female. We'll do that way.
So, as our truth honey would say, my bad.
Hey, my bad.
Sorry.
All right, Jeff, you're number five female wrestler of the year.
Okay, that would go to the EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, by winning the Royal Rumble and the SmackDown Championship at WrestleMania. And I actually got the goosebumps. And I hate to say they're emotional, but almost emotional watching her get emotional at WrestleMania with Sasha Banks. I could feel the importance of that match. I could feel how she, I don't know if she was overwhelmed, but I think emotionally she definitely was at first. You could see it in her mouth you can see her mouth starting to like almost like jitter from just welling
the moment,
up.
The moment got to them.
I thought it was a beautiful moment. And I am almost not as bad as when Shawn Michaels told Ric Flair that he loved him and he was sorry. Not that emotional, but I could feel it. So I put her at my number five.
All righty. Mike, your number five female wrestler of the year.
You guys probably have her higher. I'm going Charlotte. I knew I was going to put her on the list. I just had to put others in front of her. So I gave Charlotte five. You can't deny the every year you can put Charlotte there. But the matchup with Becky was really good. The Rhea Ripley stuff was good until they made it weird. And, you know, but I'm going to put Charlotte at five.
Mike, I'm just gonna say it here. I'd have Charlotte at five too. She's just that good. She really is. And you can't, again, like you said, you can't deny her. You gotta put her there every year. She's just that gifted in the ring. Patchy, you're number five, female.
I'm taking a weird turn here. I'm gonna go Zelina Vega.
Okay.
Just to think that, you know, she was released and then brought back like a couple months later, and the stories go that, you know, Vince actually called her saying, hey, you know, we're going to get you back. It was a mistake, yada, yada. And then, you know, she goes on to win, you know, the Queen's Court is now Queen Zelina Vega. And now she's current women's tag team champion with
Carmella.
So it shows that, you know, Zelina can, you know, we all thought, okay, she's gone. She's going to go join Malakai Black in AEW. We're going to have them as a power couple in AEW. No, she decided to come back to AEW. And actually, this was before, I think, Black was released.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mistaken. I don't remember off the top of my head. But this also shows that, you know, she adapted herself, came back. You know, she was given a chance to, you know, she's now Queen Zelina, and she's taken this character off, and it's awesome at the moment. And now she's a current champion. So good for Zelina. And that's why she's number five in my book for the year.
Alrighty. That's number five. Jeff, you're number five male wrestler of the year.
Let's see here. I think it was, yes. Josh Alexander from Impact Wrestling. I put as my number five. I put Josh, I think he was one of the guys that carried Impact Wrestling for quite a while. He put that X division on his back for quite a long time. And I absolutely loved some of his matches. Tapping out Christian Cage and Christian doing the right thing by him at Bound for Glory. And then, he also won the X Division Championship too in 2021 besides the World Championship. He beat Ace Austin and TJP at one of their pay-per-views. And I just think his matches from when his tag team, the North, broke up and he did his own thing, I think they just said, okay, they put him on an upward trajectory. And I really have enjoyed all of his matches since he went solo. I really, really liked him in Impact.
Awesome. Alrighty, Mike, you're number five male wrestler of the year.
Big E. I wanted to put Big E higher. I just couldn't. I had to reward other people. For me, I think, no, you'll agree with this. It's a moment of finally.
Mm-hmm.
Because not that New Day held Big E back. I don't think that's the issue. But we've been waiting for the Big E singles push for a long time.
Right.
I would annoy you by saying he's going to turn on Kofi. He's going to turn on Kofi. That's how they're going to push. He wins Money in the Bank. They use it the right way. They let him tweet out that he's going to cash in.
Yeah, I didn't like his cash, and I hated that he tweeted out beforehand. Like, he should have been a surprise.
I just
like
the fact that he did cash.
Yeah.
And they didn't make a ploy out of it. But since we were at Survivor Series, the Roman match was really good.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
The match with Drew in Saudi Arabia was great. And so I'm going Big E.
All right. Patch, you're number five, male.
I'm the same boat as Rifkin, Big E. You know, we finally, you know, we get Kofi Mania a couple years back, and it's just we're waiting on Big E because everybody's been waiting for Big E to have his moment. It's rightly so, you know. He went through the tribals with AJ Lee and Ziggler way back and when he was Big E Langston. And then, you know, we get the rebrand with him with the New Day, and he's the muscle man of the group. And we get Kofi Mania once again. And now, once again, Xavier Woods gets his moment with King of the Ring. Now we're waiting on Big E. Big E wins Money in the Bank. Now we're just waiting on Big E to cash in because we know they're going to give Big E the title. And it's rightfully so that he deserves the title. Because the man's worked his the man has worked his ass off for years, crafted his game, and it's rightfully so now that he's our WWE champion. Okay. And to me, he deserved it over Kofi. But since Kofi, you know, did his performance in the Elimination Chamber, that's how we got Kofi Mania, and that's how Kofi won the title.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Big E never faked a Jamaican accent.
No, he did not. But right. that's why Big E is five in my book.
All right. Number five for me would definitely be a guy that you guys mentioned in that faced Big E earlier this year. That'd be Drew McIntyre. I think the guy, I mean, he carried WWE, I think, through the pandemic era. You know, he wore the WWE championship for most of the year on his back. And if we were to go back and do 2020, I think he'd be my number one. He carried the company on his back throughout 2020, but I think he kept that momentum going into 2021 as well. He started up the year WWE champion, had a great showing at Elimination Chamber. A great match with Sheamus at Fastlane. That brutal match they had was really, really fantastic. Way better than it had any right to be. He probably got the best match out of Goldberg we've seen in a while at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship. And then the match with Lashley, and they were proper hoss fight, hit each other hard. Those were great. The triple threat at WrestleMania Backlash with him, Strowman, and Lashley was phenomenal. Again, way better than any right to be. His match with Big E, again, Drew feels like a superstar. He doesn't even need a title anymore. He feels like a proper star. Like any match Drew McIntyre is in, it's a big deal because that's how big he is. He finally has his superstar legacy cemented. And I think he carried that into 2021. He really pulled out belter after belter. And every match you're thinking, damn, like that wasn't like that, like five star, but it was solid matches all year long. He's perfected the hoss fight type of guy. And I still continue to think he's still on a very high level going into next year. All right, Jeff, we're going on to number four. Number four female wrestler for you.
The virtuosa, Deonna Purrazzo. She did win the Knockouts Championship in 2020, but she held it for the most part of this year, too, until she finally lost it. And she also she's actually still the AAA Reina de Reinas champion, their women's champion. And I guess now she's going to be at some point challenging Roxy for the Ring of Honor Women's Championship. I don't know what's going to happen with that, if they're going to merge the titles or if it's title for title or what they're going to do with it. But ever since, just like Ty Conti, ever since she's left WWE, she's just had a great run outside of that company. And I don't know what it is about her, but maybe because she's a Northeast girl too, so from Jersey. So I don't know. I put her at my number four. She's had some really solid matches, and some of her matches with Jordynne Grace have been really good. And I just think she could be like one of the big names that when the books close on Impact Wrestling, she could be one of those big names.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Alrighty, Mike, you're number four female.
This is my brutality. I went Rhea Ripley, and I wanted to put her a little higher, but I just couldn't. I'm going to be brutally honest with you guys because I currently hate what's going on with Rhea Ripley. Mm. Because Rhea Ripley should be getting the same treatment Bianca Belair is getting. as a single superstar, possibly in the Liv Morgan spot of getting to Becky Lynch at some point. Instead, now they have her teaming with Nikki Cross or Nikki ASH, whatever you want to call her. They don't care enough about the tag titles, but Rhea Ripley, great showing in the Rumble. Great match at WrestleMania. You know, and then, you know, she lost, and then, you know, they had the cash in, and they did Nikki, Charlotte, Rhea Ripley. But the beginning of the year belonged to Rhea Ripley. So I have Rhea Ripley at 4.
All right. Patchy, you're number 4 female.
See, this is why I hate Rifkin sometimes, because me and him think alike sometimes.
Dude, you cannot. I'm the most unhateable person in America.
Listen, I don't hate you. I just dislike you at sometimes. Dude, because great
minds think alike.
I agree with that. But come on, man. I have Ripley as my next one, too. I'm not going to repeat what Rifkin said. Start off the year off strong. Does well in the Rumble. And then we have just, you know, we got to throw over with Nikki ASH for a little bit. They're tag team champions for a little bit. It's a great duo, I guess, if you want to put it for a comedic relief, I guess, because you got Ripley as this hard kick-ass person, and then there's just Nikki Cross trying to be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So the world, I guess, the perfect world collides sometimes, but she deserves better.
Yeah.
But that's and maybe we'll get that in 2022. But for now, that's why she's next on my list.
All right. My number 4 for female wrestlers is going to go Bianca. Won the Women's Royal Rumble. Great match with Sasha at Mania. That moment where people are chanting, this is awesome, and they haven't even done anything yet. That's how just big this match was. And just her character, she's just impressive. She's just like a China almost. She's so impressive as a, you know, physical specimen that she just tears everybody apart. And I just got to give her love for that hair whip on Sasha at Mania. Oh my God. Made me wince when she, it sounded like a true whip just nailed Sasha in the back with it.
Or was in the back. That was the stomach, not the back.
Stomach. But yeah, no, just for that alone, she got my top 5. But no, she, you know, was great this year. They did kind of sour on her halfway through the year for some reason, having her lose to Becky in 26 seconds for no reason. Then they had a weird rematch at Extreme Rules, and then she was relegated to just be on the Women's Survivor Series team. She was a sole survivor, but the match that was around it, I think we can all agree it wasn't that good. But she still had a very, very phenomenal year. All righty, Jeff, number 4, male.
The from New Japan, I'm going to go with Will Ospreay as my number 4. He won the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship from Kota Ibushi. He also won the New Japan Cup this year, so that gives him a title shot. So I guess it's not like winning the Royal Rumble, because it's more of a like a King of the Ring, I guess, style of setup. And he's the Rev Pro Undisputed British Heavyweight Champion now also. And that's kind of a big title, at least overseas, because that's been held by, even though he's a comedic wrestler of sorts, but overall Colt Cabana, Marty Scurll, AJ Styles, Ishii, and Minoru Suzuki have all held that title. So a few years back, he came on my radar when he had that huge match with Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
And it got some kind of reviews, depending upon who was talking about. It was either the most phenomenal match or the most unspectacular, high-flying, choreographed match of all time. But overall, I mean, and he's been tearing it up over there. And now he's doing some stuff here in America with New Japan Strong out in California. So we'll be seeing a lot more of him on television going forward. So he gets my number 4.
Mm-hmm. Mike, number 4 male.
Scottish psychopath Drew McIntyre. I went McIntyre. Again, I wanted to move him up, and I wanted to reward the Thunderdome MVPs, McIntyre, Bailey. I hate what McIntyre's been relegated to recently. He teamed with Jeff Hardy, and, you know, that's a story for another day, what happened with Hardy.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about
that. And then now they got him in this thing with Adam Pearce, who, forgive me for saying this, but I swear to Jesus, if you people, and I'm talking to you, WWE, and I know you're listening, if you guys do what you did in 06 to Shawn Michaels in the Rumble, to McIntyre, where Adam Pearce causes a distraction for some loser to eliminate him to only set up that Mania match, I'm not going to be happy with you. I'm telling you that right now. So I got McIntyre at 4.
Hey, Patchy, you're number 4, male.
I hate to put him this low, but Hangman.
Ooh.
You know, Hangman had a great year, and, you know, I saw Hangman debut at Double or Nothing a couple years ago when AEW had their first pay-per-view and the building lost their shit, for lack of a better term.
You mean their cowboy shit?
Yeah. They lost their collective cowboy shit when he came out in the Casino Battle Royale as the Joker and won it. So it was awesome to see that, but that's a couple years ago. We're talking present day. You know, the three of us have talked countless times, whether it was on this podcast or off air, when the three of us have just hung out, that, you know, it's gonna set, sooner or later they have to pull the trigger on Hangman and give him the world title, and they did that. Finally, he beat Omega. He finally beat Omega. Someone finally beat Omega for the title, and he was the right person to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that, you know, Hangman's the world champion now. We have him in Dark Order doing cowboy shit now. Championship cowboy shit will go.
Champion cowboy shit.
Wait. Yeah. Hold up. Because if we did this next week, I may or may not put him on the list. But does he beat Brian at on Wednesday?
Yes. I don't think. I would say yes, because I don't think they're taking the world title off him that quickly.
Okay.
Put this way, if they do that, that's dumb cowboy shit.
Yeah, that'd be the first thing with AEW. I'd really be like, okay, yeah, I don't like this. I think we mentioned this when we talked about them debuting. And Jeff, I don't know if you agree with this or not. I don't think Brian needs to touch the world title.
No, but I think it would. It gets, you know, has a bigger casual wrestling fans' attention, but I don't think he should win the title yet. I wouldn't be surprised, because the one thing what I love about AEW is certain small things is they do the time limits. This match has a 30-minute time limit, 60-minute. I could see this going the full time limit in a draw.
Mm. So a la him and Brian Omega.
Yeah, and then he can put Paige in the LaBelle lock or something like that, and make it look like he's possibly about the tap, and then the bell rings, end of match.
Right.
And then one could say, I never tapped out. The other one could say, well, I took your champion all the way to the limit and I made him cry of sorts, or, you know,
right. They had
a few things, you know, just to expand this feud. I don't think hopefully this match is not it for this feud. I think it can go a little bit longer.
Yeah. All right, to go on to my number 4, I'd have to go Darby Allin. The guy, I have loved this pairing with Sting that they've done throughout basically the entire year. It's kind of like a mentor-student type of thing that they've been doing. The cinematic match they had early in the year at Revolution was, I thought, one of the best. It was just a pure street fight, and they did a lot of fun stuff with it. And Darby is just... he will be world champion in the next 2 to 3 years. Mark my words. He will be a world champion someday. You know, they had a tag team match, Double or Nothing, which again was very, very good. He gets the honor of having CM Punk's first match ever in 7 years. He gets the honor of having CM Punk's first match back in a wrestling ring, and he tore the house down with Punk. And then he has a great match with MJF at Full Gear. He's had great matches with Ethan Page, with Powerhouse Hobbs. You know, just he just goes out there and he puts on a great match every night he needs to. And the way he's able to sell and flop around for guys is just uncanny. The way he can just make his body just go limp and just fly out of the ring or fly over the rope, it's amazing. And he will be AEW World Champion at some point. Because, again, I want to – Mike, you talk about giving love to guys during the Thunderdome era. I want to give love to Darby Allin because he had the best title reign of any AEW champion with that TNT title reign. He was carrying that belt for ages until Miro took it off him. And so I want to really give love to him for that because he was phenomenal at that as well. All righty. Jeff, number three, female.
Okay. She's already been mentioned, but Becky Lynch. She came back after having a baby and she looked phenomenal. Maybe there was ring rust there, but I didn't see where she looked sloppy or out of tune with whoever she was working with. And I kind of like to change in direction a bit from the man to big time Bex. I love the man era for Becky Lynch, but I'm kind of getting into this. My one thing is she has to go overboard a little bit to be a heel because the crowd so wants to cheer her on.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing a good job at it, but I think overall I really love her work since she's been back, and the fact that she came back after all that time just shows me how great she really is.
To so come back and work that great right off the bat is just impressive. No, like you said, no ring rust whatsoever. So alrighty, Mike, number three female.
Raquel Gonzalez. The only reason I put Raquel Gonzalez really over Rhea Ripley was she was a part of War Games.
Mm.
And yeah, she didn't get the pin at War Games, but it still feels like Raquel Gonzalez, I want to say matters, but there's still a plan. I don't know what the plan is with Rhea Ripley currently. There's a plan in here with Raquel Gonzalez. I don't know when, I don't know where, but sooner or later, Raquel Gonzalez is going to be a force on the main roster. It's coming. She was a great women's champion. The match with her and Shirai,
it was a great match.
Phenomenal.
Great match. The spot where Shirai jumps off the top of the skull, that is still my favorite. Might be my favorite bump of the year, but Raquel Gonzalez for me, number three.
Patchy, you're number three female.
She has been mentioned earlier, Bianca Belair. You know, we can talk about what she did at WrestleMania winning the women's title. And she would be higher on this list if it wasn't for, you know, we can give Becky Lynch credit for coming back after having a kid, but they could have booked that a hell of a lot better instead of having Becky come out and then squashing her in less than 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Because when you do that, you discredit all the work you did to make Belair what she was at that point. The top champion on the brand that she was on. And then it was just like, yeah, you know what? You're losing the title to Becky. We're bringing Becky back. We're going to have a moment. Have Becky have her moment once again, which we didn't need in the first place. But that's a tangent for a different day. And, you know, now she's back on this track to, you know, bring herself back up. Hypothetically, maybe she could win back-to-back Rumbles and then get her rematch against Becky at Mania.
I wouldn't be against that.
I wouldn't be against it either because I want to see, you know, Liv Morgan, you know, if they're going to strive with Liv Morgan to, you know, maybe have Liv run the table and have her get Becky at Mania.
maybe do a triple threat.
Triple threat. We'll see down the road, but we have to get there at that point. But overall, Belair did have a fantastic year. It's just that, you know, that one debacle SummerSlam match kind of did it for me to not make her number two or number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on Belair's fault. It's on WWE itself.
Yeah, definitely. My number three female side, I did mention her as an honorable mention, but I just want to make sure she got mentioned. But I got to mention her here. Hikaru Shida. She has slowly become, like I said, my favorite female wrestler, I think, right now in AEW. Again, she's just one of those performers that just has a great match no matter who she's with. Like I said, the match with Baker was phenomenal at Double or Nothing. Her matches with Serena Deeb recently have been just excellent when they've been having on Rampage and on Dynamite. She's just a pillar of the women's division right now. She's just a cornerstone that, like I said, can have a great match with anybody that they put her with. And, you know, again, she carried the women's championship during 2020, had a very, very long reign. Jeff, you mentioned that she first to 50 wins. She's just been killing it. And someone who, when she first debuted, I was like, who is this? And then I started watching her matches, and I'm like, oh, I really like where this character, I really like her style in the ring. She's very technical, but she can also be very like a brawler and just really fight when she needs to. So I definitely think the AEW women's division, when they first debuted, was very, very weaker as far as their other divisions were concerned. But now it's getting very, very strong, as I think most of our top two or top one women will show. Alrighty, Jeff, number three male.
The almighty Bobby Lashley, I put at number three, winning the WWE Championship. Sure, he took out The Miz, but he's had some great opponents since then, from Randy Orton and Goldberg and Kofi and Drew McIntyre and Strowman. And I almost forgot he was actually he held the U.S. title earlier this year too. So mm-hmm. holding two championships during the year, and I was really happy when he came back originally, and then I was just kind of more depressed where they were probably bringing his character. And I was sad to see him leave Impact at that time, because I thought he was starting to really come into his own there when he left. And then now that he's back, I love his work now with MVP as his mouthpiece. And you just can't put him in, you can't not put him in a title picture right now, which is, I think they're going to do probably a four-way for Big E's title at some point sooner than later. But I think overall he's had a really great career, and he just comes off looking like a traditional, bigger Vince McMahon style of champion, kind of like right. Big E. He's much taller than Big E, but they both have that like impressive physique that you would see like in an old school. Like if Bobby Lashley was around in the 80s, oh my goodness, he God knows what they would have done with somebody that big, that strong, that fast, that athletic. So, but yeah, Big E, or I'm sorry, Bobby Lashley rather, with my number three.
Mike, your number three male.
Kenny Omega. And I was very tempted to move him to two, but the person I have at two might get me enough flack for as it is. But I'm putting Omega here. Look, he is one. I don't care your opinion. You love him, hate him. I don't care. He's still one of the best in the world. The match with Hangman was great. The triple threat match with him, Pac, and Orange Cassidy was great. The match with Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call it, that was great. The dude produces great matches. And now he gets to take... Now he gets, I know he needs shoulder surgery and some other stuff done, but he can take a back seat and let other people do what they've got to do here, because Kenny Omega knows once he comes back, his job's taken care of. He knows where he is on the top of the card. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for that Adam Cole Kenny Omega match.
Oh,
that one's calling my
name. Yes, please. All right.
That'll be too sweet.
Too sweet. All righty. Patchy, you're number three male.
Edge. Edge had a great year. Won the Rumble. Main evented WrestleMania, which we never thought we would see again. Had a feud with Roman. You know, disappears for a couple weeks. That's all right. No big deal. Blah, blah, blah. Comes back. Now we're getting him and Miz. And side note, WWE, just don't try to be like AEW and try to do a promo battle like MJF and Punk did. It's not making you look good.
Dude, all just right. Wait. It's going to be Miz and Maurice versus Edge and Beth Phoenix sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm right. All right. I'm all right with that.
You know what's crazy? I just want to say this real quick. Like, go cash your minds back to WrestleMania when you were watching the Triple Threat, and I was texting our friend Adam, and I said, if you had told me 2 years ago that the main event of WrestleMania in 2 years was going to be Edge, Daniel Bryan, and a heel Roman Reigns, I would have thought you were completely insane. Like,
but think about this: the most likely of the that scenario is a heel Roman Reigns.
No, I think the more likely was Edge. Heel Roman. I never would have bet they would turn Roman heel. I was like, they're never turning Roman heel. They're never doing it.
Cena into a ghost.
Like, but they do it, and then they bring Edge back, and they have to get Daniel Bryan in there. I think you know.
Daniel Bryan. Side note, Daniel Bryan did not need to be in that match. I don't know why they booked it that way. Daniel Bryan has said himself that he should not have been in that match.
I think it made it better, honestly.
Side note, if you're going to have Edge win the Rumble, you should have gone all the way and just have Edge have that moment at Mania winning the belt.
You could have
had Roman win the belt back on SmackDown, at Backlash. I don't
argument,
care.
Arguments for a different that. Time, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Argument different time, but Edge is number three because, you know what? We're getting Edge in 2021, and we never thought we would get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. For me, my number three is a man you mentioned, Patchy. It's Daniel Bryan Danielson. The guy is, you know, nearing the end of his career. He's told us that he's not, you know, going to be full-time much longer. But the guy is – I would honestly say, as far as gifted talent and, like, the work ethic of someone, I think he's the greatest wrestler of all time. As far as, like, in ring, I think Daniel Bryan's the greatest of all time. The guy drags a great, he could have a 5-star match with a broom. I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy, you know, you have him and Roman earlier in the year at Fastlane, again, near 5-star match. Him in the Edge triple threat, Edge Roman triple threat, I thought made that match so much greater because I thought it really made that match unpredictable. Then he fights Roman again on SmackDown right before WrestleMania Backlash. That match was fan flipping tastic. Goes to AEW and it's immediately tearing it up there. First match he has, Mike, you mentioned it, the Kenny Omega epic at Shea Stadium. Those two Arthur Ashe Stadium. Just put
Shea Stadium, unfortunately, was knocked down. Yeah. Mate, rest in peace.
I forgot, yeah. But absolutely tore the house down with Omega. And every week, you know what? I say that these people come out every week. Bryan's new thing in AEW is he literally has a great match every week. Every week he goes out and puts on a belter, whether it's John Silver, whether it's number five, whether it's Kenny Omega, whether it's Colt Cabana, just – every week this guy comes out and does it. Like I said, I think he's having one of his best years. And a lot of it could just be what he did in AEW and WWE, like, really early in the year. He took, like, a three-month break. But now he comes in AEW, and he's absolutely tearing it up. And I cannot wait for Wednesday night when it's Hangman versus Bryan. That's going to be, I think, off the walls, just absolutely amazing. But the guy keeps going, and who thought – Patch, you said who thought we'd have Edge in 2021? Who thought we'd have Daniel Bryan in 2021? You know, there was a good three in the years where we thought it was over.
They thought they did.
Alrighty, we're on to the top two. Jeff, number two female.
Thunder Rosa. I put her at my number two. That match she had where she made Britt Baker bleed, the unsanctioned lights out match, was awesome. Match of the year candidate from so many people's opinions matched the year candidate. And the fact that she got to not only wrestle in AEW, she was an Impact for a match and NWA. So three major promotions within 1 year's time. And I, there's just something about her, just her overall personality, because I do follow her on Twitter, and she's just it seems like such a wonderful person. So yeah, I put her at my number two.
Jeff, I'm just gonna come on and say it. Great match, like, I put Thunder Rosa at two as well. She had that match with Britt Baker was something I never expected. I did not expect I don't want to sound like, you know, misogynistic or anything like that, but I didn't expect women to ever have a match that brutal. Like, that was otherworldly. Like, that was rivaling Moxley and Omega from 2 years ago. And I was just blown away by it. Their dedication to it. And she's just cranked out every week. She cranks something new out. And it's been phenomenal to watch. She's got a killer gimmick, killer look, killer personality. Everything about her is just phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. Thunder Rosa is number two for me as well. All righty. Mike, you're number two female.
Like her, I'm the EST of this podcast. I'm going Bianca Belair.
Of course you are, Mike.
Start to finish. Look, she won the Rumble. The match at Mania was brought up. The Becky thing happened. It's erase it from your memory. You know, Survivor Series, I don't take much stock into her being the sole survivor, but that happened. And there are better things ahead. So I've got Bianca Belair at two.
Actually, you're number two female.
Charlotte Flair. I'll go Charlotte Flair on this one. You know, we can say it every year. Charlotte Flair can be in the top three in conversation for Women's Wrestler of the Year. And once again, you know, Charlotte Flair is doing Charlotte Flair things. She's going to probably be the 17-time women's champion soon. And that's going to eat everyone up and probably implode the internet on a different note for a different day. But overall, Charlotte had a great year. And I'm just going to put it that way.
All righty. So I already mentioned that my number two was Thunder Rosa along with Jeff. So Jeff, you're number two male.
Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, I put at number two, winning he had the title, the AEW title for just about a year. You know, he was a dual title, or no, not only a dual, a triple title.
He was a belt collector.
Yeah, he was. He had the Impact title he got from Rich Swann. And then even though he won it in 2019, he continued to hold on to the AAA Mega Championship that he won from Ray Phoenix, and he only had to let that go due to injury, which I wonder if he would still be the AEW champion if it wasn't for injury, and or if they would have just kept this bowl. I think he probably would have eventually dropped it to Adam Page anyway, but he just had a great matches with all those belts, from Jon Moxley to Phoenix to Rich Swann to Pac, Jungle Boy, Sammy Callahan, Andrade El Idolo.
El Idolo.
Yes. And Laredo Kid, actually, in AAA with that one.
He dropped it to El Idolo, right? He dropped the AAA title to Andrade, right?
No, he vacated it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then they had, I think it was like a six-person match for the new champion. I can't remember. I think Bobby Fish was in the match, and I think they had, like, it was mainly people from AAA that were in the match, but I think they had like three people from the United States that were in the match. I think I think Jay Lethal was one of the other Americans in the match. So
gotcha.
I never got to see that match. I have to go and try and find it.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Mike, you're number two. Male.
I'm about to break the damn internet. Uh-oh. Roman Reigns at two.
You have.
Oh, yeah. Listen, because you guys probably all have him at one.
Wow. I'm not surprised you don't have Roman one. I'm surprised of who you have at number one.
You pay respect to what's happened. Look, Roman Reigns has had the best year of anybody. I'm not going to deny it. I didn't put him at one because I wanted to be different.
Okay.
That was my main reason. I what you said about Drew McIntyre before has kind of resonated with me on Roman. At some point, sooner rather than later, I'd like to see Roman drop the belt because he doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't. And I'm just, in my mind, if Brock's not winning at day one, which I don't know. Right now I'm on a coin flip with who's winning that match. Then the question becomes who and when.
Right.
Because it's not against Roman, because Roman's had a great year. The Big E match. We talked about the match with Cesaro at Backlash.
Amazing.
Awesome. Phenomenal. It's just now for me, it's just, okay, let's pass it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But so I've got Roman at two, and it's just because I really wanted to be different.
Okay. Alrighty, Patchy, who do you have as number two male?
Sometimes I don't like Jeff. I had Omega as well. I'm not going to repeat the things that Jeff said. Omega had a fantastic year, held three titles at one point, had a great match against Christian in my book for the TNA or Impact title, wherever you want to classify Impact Wrestling as lately, whatever title that he had at that point. And overall, Omega had a great year, and the man's finally on vacation, a well-deserved vacation to recover.
All right. My number two male, I'm going to give it to Seth Rollins. I think the guy had secretly a phenomenal year. He returns at the Royal Rumble, I think put on a great showing in the Rumble match. Amazing match with Cesaro at WrestleMania. And then the trilogy with Edge, the SummerSlam match, absolutely great. The SmackDown match, it was an amazing match, but it kept the story going, with Seth, planting Edge with the curb stomp and taking him out of action. And then the Hell in a Cell match at Crown Jewel was one of the matches of the year. And even outside of those, he's just one of those guys that goes out and puts on a great performance with anybody. He's had great matches with Finn Balor recently. He had a great match, great showing in Survivor Series. I mean, I think he really carried that performance in the Survivor Series elimination match. But like I said, Finn Balor, Big E, KO.
The great coats he wears also.
Oh, the character of the Visionary, I love it. It's my favorite. It's my second favorite thing in WWE going right now. I love what he's doing. I loved the Messiah more, but this is still absolutely great. It's so funny to hear him go out like that. It's so great. But yeah, I think he's been secretly killing it right now. He's still one of the best, and I think he deserves another run with a title at some point. I honestly, I don't know if you guys, I wouldn't be against him turning face, and let's do him Roman at Mania. I think that would be, I think it would give Seth kind of a redo because they ruined him so bad with the Fiend match at Hell in a Cell in 2019. I think he deserves another face run with the title. So, we can see what
you could even work the whole Shield angle.
Right. There's a lot of built-in story there and how Roman's been kind of dodging him too and stuff. So I wouldn't be against that. But all right, we have it now. We have our number one spot. Jeff, your number one female wrestler of the year.
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
I'm with you there.
I think we're all there.
Yeah, we're all there.
Yeah, we're all there. Okay, so Jeff, go ahead first and just have the floor with Britt Baker.
I'm sorry?
I said just have the floor. You have the floor to talk for a minute about Britt Baker.
Oh, God. What can you say about her that everybody else probably hasn't said about her? I mean, defeating Sheeta for the title, that was so huge. Between that and her match with Thunder Rosa, that really stepped up her game. I think that really put her on the map. And her work is just getting better and better and better. And having the two other ladies with her, was it Rebel?
Rebel. Rebel. Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, Rebel and Jamie Hayter.
And, you know, having her, that little click together. And she's beaten, you know, some really good talent along the way. Ruby Soho, I thought that was a great match she had with Ruby Soho a few weeks back. And Chris Statlander and Velvet, Red Velvet, and the Ty Conti match. I was really looking forward to that. Because even though I didn't put her in my honorable mentions, I do love Ty Conti. And I think that was a really underrated match and doesn't get a lot of people talking. But I personally really enjoyed that match. And the crowd is so behind her. And the little things that happen with her and what's his name? The announcer from
Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone, and how they always are together. And Adam Cole, baby, is get away from, you know, from my woman.
It's like he's like jealous of him.
Yeah, I think that's a little, you know, that's funny. And her name getting brought up by CM Punk the other week with MJF, and how he said you never realize you've been replaced by Britt Baker. And I think she might be she's just phenomenal. I can't say enough great.
I'll say this really quick about Britt Baker, and I'll let the other two have their say. I don't think there is anybody right now in the wrestling world, like currently, that has more charisma than Britt Baker. She owns any room. She owns any arena she's in. Her presence on the mic and in the ring is just, I'm a star and I don't give a crap what you say. I am a star. Be happy for me. Like she carries this huge, huge charisma factor with her. You're encapsulated by every word she says, because she just says it with such vigor, such like, I'm trying to figure out the way to say it. Just so much belief, ability to make you believe that she's the best. She's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and you're gonna like it. Whether and she honestly, I feel like she should have MJF's thing. The whole "I'm better than you, and you know it," because she would say that with such more veracity than he does. I would personally believe, but that's again another argument for another time. But Mike, what do you have to say on Britt Baker?
She was the first woman signed to AEW. And she kept saying, "I was the first one. I was the first one." And they kept overlooking her because the title wasn't there. The title wasn't there. And then now the title's there. And she is, if not the best, the second best thing in the whole company going right now. The promos are so good. In the ring, getting so much better. Jeff brought up that we talked about this last week, how the lights out match, I think that was on all of our lists near the top.
Mm-hmm.
That was so good. And she's just getting better. And that's the thing, the chip on her shoulder. I think that's what you're looking for with the charisma. Mm-hmm. There's a chip on that shoulder, not just the championship belt, but a real chip. I was the first woman signed to AEW, and she had to scratch and claw and finally get to the top. And she's there, and she's good for right now. She's really good.
I don't think anyone could argue with this. She's had the best year of any women's wrestler. I don't think you could really argue any other person. It's hard. I can't think of anybody else that comes to mind.
I think the closest one was Bianca Belair, but I think SummerSlam erased that.
Yeah, it really did. If they had done that better, she probably could have made the case. But yeah, you're right.
Last thing, and then I'll let Patch go. My theory is in 2022, I don't know if it's earlier, she's going to lose the belt to either Thunder Rosa, who Jeff talked about earlier, or Jade Cargill, who someone else Jeff talked about earlier. Those would be the top two choices.
If I had to pick the better option, I would definitely think Thunder Rosa. I think that's the match everyone wants to see.
I'm just saying, to me, those are the top two.
Right. All right, Patchy, you have the floor with about Britt Baker.
What can you say? What a year for the doctor. You know, we always wait for people to have their moment. We've seen it throughout wrestling. We know we never thought they're going to have their moment because, you know, the company doesn't want to pull the trigger. Well, unlike a certain wrestling company, this AEW pulls the trigger when we want it to happen. And it finally happens with Britt Baker. We've all said it, first woman signed by AEW. And, you know, just for being the first person, I guess that brings a lot to the table because they're looking to you first, because it's like a draft pick in the NFL or the NBA. All eyes are on you for being the first overall pick to make a mark. And for her, it just took a little bit to take off. And it finally happened this year. Started at the bottom, worked all the way up the mountain, won the title. We're here, and we're all for it.
Absolutely. Alrighty, Jeff, your number one male wrestler of the year.
Okay, this is going to come as a shock. Anthony Ogogo.
Okay.
No, I'm just joking. No.
Okay, Roman, I was going to say, I was like, really? I'm like, really? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Roman Reigns. I mean, I can't say love high enough for how his character has completely changed. This is probably one of the better things WWE has done in a long time as far as changing a character and character development overall. I can't really think of anything better as far as that goes for them. Just how long he's held the title, and you know, he's actually had, you know, more title defenses than I can think of for any of the other champions. I mean, though, he has held it for quite a long time, and he's been in the ring with some great, great wrestlers that have probably helped him definitely along the way, from Owens to Daniel Bryan and Edge and Cesaro, Mysterio and Lesnar and Finn Balor and John Cena. He's been there in almost like with the who's who, and I just love his work with the Usos. I was kind of wondering where it was going, but I kind of like where he's disapproving of them in certain times, and at other times almost like it seems like he's coddling him. But overall, this is just his best, one of the best runs, probably his best run period in my opinion, and I just can't say enough great things about him. And I love that swagger and his whole, that one promo some while back, and he goes, when I think he was talking about John Cena, and he goes, it's the same thing, it's like missionary every single night.
I
just got a huge kick out of that. And
we talked about how Britt Baker improved with like on the mic and stuff like that. I did not see this level of promo style coming from Roman Reigns.
No.
He's just out of nowhere become like the best promo ever. He doesn't even need Paul Heyman. He's good enough on his own at this point. And I never expected that to happen. It's just amazing to see what he's accomplished. Alrighty, Mike, your number one male wrestler of the year.
I broke the internet when I put Roman Reigns at two. I put Bobby, I wanted to put McIntyre at one, but then I think people would say, that's kind of predictable. I put Bobby Lashley at one. Again, I want to reward the Thunderdome era, and Bobby Lashley's a big part of that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did what he had to do with Miz and then to win the title. Then he beats McIntyre at Mania. And then just from then on, he was legitimately the guy. There was no BS. There was no nonsense. It was Raw was Bobby Lashley's show. And he would kick it off every week, kind of like how Triple H would in the mid-2000s with Evolution. It's him and Flair, and they're in suits, cutting a great promo. And so this was Bobby Lashley and MVP in their suits, cutting great promos, doing what they've got to do in the ring. I want to say this because I want to bring McIntyre back into it. For a second, my hope is now that we're back, and when I say we're back, fans are back at the arenas. Give Lashley and Drew another run. They deserve it with a crowd involved, not just the fact that they did it without a crowd, and they did it so well. So
I mean, here's the thing, Mike. I mean, I just said, you know, Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns would be a great WrestleMania match. What about Drew and Roman?
Well, yeah, Lashley, Roman. I don't care.
Yeah, either one of those I think would be great.
We'll sign up for any of it. It's and the other reason I put Lashley here at one and not Roman, I said I want to be different. But the other part of me is Roman. I know he wasn't a heel, but Roman was established as the guy.
I get you.
We didn't know what Bobby Lashley was when he came back. He came back, you know, they did what they had to do. Then they brought him in Leo Rush with him, and then that kind of soured. And now he's back with MVP, and he's at the top of his game.
Yeah, absolutely. Alrighty, Patchy, your number one male wrestler of the year.
Roman Reigns. You know, I love Roman now. You know, I wasn't a big Roman guy, you know, as a person that wants to see a person as a bad guy. We finally got it. Roman's a heel. Has Paul Heyman in his corner, has his cousins, the Usos. We could get the Usos' brother now, maybe in the bloodline. Whole bunch of more can transpire with this in a different time. But Roman did have probably the best year as a wrestler in WWE. Maybe not throughout the year for pro wrestling, because it's my personal opinion. You know, people can put Omega up there. People can put Hangman up there. But for WWE's sakes, he was the best going for the year. And, you know, Jeff said it all. And I kind of had a tiny epiphany. I think there's maybe one person that can take him down. And that's Walter.
Oh,
with those big old slaps.
Walter Roman.
We haven't seen Walter in a while since he lost the UK title. And just to think about this, Walter comes in the Royal Rumble. What if Walter wins the Royal Rumble?
If you are doing Walter Roman, give them like 40 minutes, please. I need that.
I'm throwing the hypothetical out there.
That'd be insane.
I'm just saying Roman Walter Mania.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe. And we get to see Walter finally on the main roster.
Maybe. We'll see. All right, for me, I have to do a 1A and 1B because I can't distinguish between these two guys as far as who the best wrestler of the year was. It's the two world champions for most of the year. It was AEW world champion Kenny Omega is 1A and Roman Reigns, the Universal Champion, is 1B. Both of these guys have just killed it this entire year. Starting with Omega, starts the year off as AEW world champion, has the great match with Moxley in the Exploding Barbed Wire match. Forget the ending. It was just funny. It was what it was. But then he goes on to have the triple threat match with Orange Cassidy and Pac at Double or Nothing. Again, fantastic. Then he has the classics with Brian on AEW, the Grand Slam show. He has great matches with Christian, great matches in AAA, great matches in Impact, great matches in AEW. And he just kills it every week. Finally drops the title, Hangman Adam Page, in an amazing match. What a year. You can't deny what the guy accomplished. He made every match worth watching, and he held that title with a presence of I'm a world champion. But then on the other side, again, I think presence is the best word to describe Roman Reigns. He is now a presence. He is with not only Paul Heyman with his new look, B and C, with the, I will say it right now, the best theme song in the company right now. That theme song is damn near perfect. The choir, the harpsichord, the pianos, the you know, little hints of the Shield music in there. They have made Roman Reigns the ultimate final boss. He is the final boss of the WWE. You have to beat him to basically beat WWE. That's basically what it is. But I mean, just his, like I said earlier, his promo work has improved by a thousandfold. His ring work has improved by a thousandfold. Jeff, you mentioned the people that he was in there with, Cesaro, Mysterio, Edge, Bryan. But the biggest thing is that Roman was keeping up with those guys. He was going just as hard and just as good as those guys were. And the level that he has grown in the last year and a half has just been astronomical, and he finally feels like the guy in WWE, and it's finally like, yeah, we are with you. He is the guy. He is phenomenal. We just told you, heel turn was all he needed, and look what where it's got him. He's but those two, Omega and Roman, carried the companies this last year, and they really, really deserve spots on the top of the list. Alrighty, gentlemen, any final thoughts before we log off for the night?
No, I'm good.
Just to answer everyone's question, Lashley won all three matches tonight, and at day one, it's officially a fatal four-way.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see what happens with day one. We'll do our
predictions. Can we add one more person and get a championship scramble?
Oh, if only we had a championship scramble match. That'd be something.
No, because then it's going to be Ray or Dominic, and I don't want that.
Well, we'll see what happens with day one. But that's
going to one day we will.
Oh, hey. But that's going to do it for this episode of Face Turn here on the Sports City Network. Jeff Knapp, thank you so much for joining us. You are more than welcome anytime to come on, man. Been a great, been a blast having you on. But for Jeff Knapp, Mike the Punmaster Rifkin, Lawrence Patchman Lang, I'm Noah Tremblay. You've been listening to the Face Turn on the Sports Insanity Network. Find us wherever you get your podcasts and check out the website, www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.